From Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri, here's Dr. Van Lees.
The reason Paul describes Christians as those who had been called is because if anyone is a Christian, it is because they have been called by God. When we think of the term calling in regard to our salvation, there are two aspects that are usually considered. First, there is the general call of the gospel, the external call. Second, there is the effectual or internal call of God, which works with the general call of the gospel to make it effective.
Grace is God's loving favor given to those He saves. We don't deserve it, nor can we earn it. But if we are to live eternally with Christ, we must depend totally on God's grace. Welcome to God's Amazing Grace, the radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, committed to growing the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, Dr. Van Lees brings us the second part of a message entitled, God's Effectual Call, as we continue our series in the book of Romans. In one of his greatest miracles, Jesus cried, "Lazarus, come forth," and the dead man rose and came out of his tomb. Well, this remarkable event gives us a wonderful picture of God's effectual call. We are all by nature helplessly dead in our trespasses and sins, hopelessly unable to save ourselves. But through the power of the gospel message, the Lord miraculously calls us from spiritual death to newness of life, so that we may receive the gift of eternal life and walk with Him. So what does God's Word teach us about God's effectual call to salvation in Jesus Christ? The Bible text for today's message is from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Here again is Dr. Van Lees with today's edition of God's Amazing Grace we've entitled, God's Effectual Call, Part 2.
Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which He promised beforehand through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning His Son, who was born of the descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for His name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul speaks of both aspects of this calling, the external and the internal call, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, first of all, in verse 18, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." In verses 21 through 24, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Here is the external call and the importance of preaching as a means of proclaiming the gospel. Verse 22, "For indeed Jews ask their signs and Greeks search their wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness." Here's the idea, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing or a stumbling block. Here's the external call, the message preached. Verse 24, "But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that He might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God." And then notice verses 30 and 31. "But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Here we see the external call, the message preached, the proclamation of the gospel. It's foolishness or a stumbling block to either Jews or Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is similar, again, to what we saw in Ephesians chapter 2, that we were dead in sin. And then in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. J. Gresham Machen made this statement. He said, man, according to the Bible, is not merely sick in trespasses and sins. He is not merely in a weakened condition so that he needs divine help, but he is dead in trespasses and sins. He can do absolutely nothing to save himself. George Whitefield, remember the great preacher of the first great awakening in the United States? He was the kind of the orator of that period. Jonathan Edwards was kind of like the intellectual giant, so to speak, of it. Whitefield was the great orator traveling up and down through the colonies and preaching. And he compared our spiritual resurrection in Christ to Christ's raising of Lazarus. And I want to read just a little with one of his sermons on this. It's in the older English, so you'll hear that. But he said, come ye dead, Christless, unconverted sinners. Come and see the place where they lay the body of the deceased Lazarus. Behold him laid out, bound hand and foot in grave clothes, locked up and stinking in a dark cave with a great stone placed on top of it. View him again and again. Go nearer to him. Be not afraid. Smell him. Ah, how he stinketh. Was he bound hand and foot in grave clothes? So art thou bound hand and foot with thy corruptions. And as a stone was laid on the sepulcher, so there is a stone of unbelief laid upon thy stupid heart. Perhaps thou hast lain in this state not only 4 days, but many years, stinking in God's nostrils. And what is more affecting, thou art as unable to raise thyself out of this loathsome dead state to a life of righteousness, a true holiness, as other Lazarus was to raise himself from the cave in which he lay so long. Thou mayest try the power of thine own boasted free will and the force and energy of moral persuasion and rational arguments, which without all doubt had their proper place. But all thy efforts, exerted with ever so much vigor, will prove fruitless and abortive till that same Jesus who said, take away the stone, and cried, Lazarus, come forth, also quicken you and make you spiritually alive. It's interesting how consistently this is set forth in Scripture, which is certainly what you would expect. Peter, in writing in 1 Peter 1, in verses 3 through 5, says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Paul also speaks of an effectual call in Romans chapter 8, in verse 30, when he is giving a listing of some of the doctrines of our salvation and their application to us, each one being dependent, logically dependent upon what came before. It says, in whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. In the construction here, every single one that is predestined has been called. Every single one that is called is justified. And everyone who is justified is ultimately glorified. But particularly notice that all who are called are justified. It's not just an external call of the Gospels where some hear it and receive it and some hear it and do not. We're talking about a calling that produces an effect. Everyone who is called is justified. It's a call that brings a person to saving faith in Christ. Now, the knowledge of this and one very strong application to us gives us confidence in evangelism. It is our duty to make the gospel known, but we can't make anyone believe. However, as we make it known, God will save His elect. And while we try to present the content of the gospel in a lucid and clear manner, even when we don't have an answer to every argument, or present the gospel in the clearest possible way, the Holy Spirit can use that and bring someone to salvation. Charles Spurgeon, in commenting on this point, said, "I take it that the highest proof of Christ's power is not that He offers salvation, not that He bids you take it if you will, but that when you reject it, when you hate it, when you despise it, He has the power whereby He can change your mind, make you think differently from your former thoughts, and turn you from the error of your ways." He also said, "I do not come into this pulpit hoping that perhaps somebody will of his own free will return to Christ. My hope lies in another quarter. I hope that my Master will lay hold of some of them and say, 'You are mine and you shall be mine. I claim you for myself.' My hope arises from the freeness of grace and not from the freedom of the will. A poor haul of fish will any gospel fisherman make if he takes none but those who are eager to leap into the net." And then he said, "Oh, for 5 minutes of the great shepherd's handiwork." Paul also speaks of this effectual call in 2 Timothy 1:9. You're speaking of the gospel according to the power of God, said, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity." If you're in Christ now, you have been effectually called out of darkness to Christ. And the reason you have been effectually called is because of God's own purpose and grace, which was granted to you from all eternity. That God has shown you mercy from eternity. It leads us to a second point in Romans chapter 1. And that is that this effectual call is based on the eternal purpose of God in election. Again in Romans 1 in verses 6 and 7, he says, "Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." He uses the phrase, "to all who are beloved of God in Rome." The expression "beloved of God" has a particular meaning in the book of Romans. Again, William Hendrickson comments on it. He said, "A study of the book of Romans in its entirety reveals that through Paul, these words indicate not only that God now loves the believers in Rome, but also that He had loved them from all eternity and would never stop loving them. One example of this is found in Romans 8:29. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Of course, we'll look at that idea more when we get to that verse, but John Murray, in commenting on Romans 8:29, said, "Many times in Scripture, the word 'know' has a pregnant meaning which goes beyond that of mere cognition. It is used in a sense practically synonymous with love, to set regard upon, to know with peculiar interest, delight, and affection and action. There is no reason why this import of the word 'know' should not be applied to 'foreknow' in Romans 8:29. And this is exactly in keeping with Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul speaks of the eternal love of God toward His people in verses 4 and 5. "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will." We just read in 2 Timothy 1:9 that our calling is in accordance with His purpose and grace, which was granted us from all eternity in Christ. In Jeremiah 31:3, Jeremiah makes the statement that God speaks to His people, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. If you're in Christ now, it is because God has effectually called you to Himself. He has raised you from spiritual death to life. He has caused you to be born again. He has granted you faith and repentance and effectually drawn you to Himself. And this is all in keeping with His eternal love for you in His eternal purpose in election and grace which is granted to you from eternity. When we study the attributes of God and consider God's attributes, the attribute of omniscience means that God knows all things that there is to know, and that He knows them forever. It means that He does not come to knowledge through learning something or going through a process of some experience or learning like we do. Everything there is to know, including all future events, He knows always and perfectly. And that includes not only events, but His knowledge of all people, His eternal purpose to create people, to have a specific individual live at a specific time. Isaiah mentions that He calls forth the generations from the beginning. That means that God has known you forever. Not just a general mass of humanity, but every single individual, down to every aspect of their personhood, every atom of their body, every aspect of their person and character, and the generations leading up to them. The scriptures we just read declare that God has set His love and His elect from all eternity. If you're in Christ now, that means God has known you forever, has set His love upon you forever, and has an eternal destiny planned for you forever. There has never been a time in all of eternity when God has not loved you if you're in Christ now. And in all eternity to come, you will always be an object of God's specific and special love in Christ. Jonathan Edwards, in commenting on that point, said, "How great a happiness must it be to be the object of the love of Him who is the Creator of the world and by whom all things consist, and who is exalted at God's right hand and made head over all principalities and powers in the heavenly places, who has all things under His feet and is King of kings and Lord of lords, and is the brightness of the Father's glory." Speaking particularly the Son in this context. But he says, surely to be loved by Him is enough to satisfy the soul. Do you ever in your Christian life struggle with some particular sin? And then as you go to God in repentance, confession, the thought runs through your mind, could God love me as much now as He did before I did this sin once again? Have you ever had the sense of such intense alienation from God because of continued struggles and sin that you wonder if God really wants you to be His child or if He just kind of puts up with you in the family of God? This declares that God doesn't just put up with you, but that He has embraced and loved you from all eternity. John Owen, the great Puritan writer, said, "We are never nearer to Christ and we find ourselves lost in a holy amazement at His unspeakable love." This means that if you're in Christ, your salvation has been determined by God through all eternity. It means there's a security in your salvation. It means that nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ. And since no purpose of God can be thwarted, there is nothing that can take you out of the hand of God, as Jesus declared in John 10. After 2 years of trying to get rid of an adopted son they considered a troublemaker, a Miami couple finally convinced a judge to cancel their adoption. The Associated Press reported in 1982 that the couple had tried to improve their adopted son's behavior for 5 years before finally giving up and getting rid of him. Apparently, they felt they had made a mistake in adopting him. But their son was described by a social worker as intelligent, cooperative, communicative, and motivated to go to college. That's tragic. But just as tragic is the number of believers who fear that God will disown them the moment they have any struggle or problem in their Christian life, who wonder if God today loves them and tomorrow doesn't. Sometimes Christians who have had a very poor relationship with their parents find it hard to believe that God has accepted them in Christ, and they tend to project an abusive father or struggle on that type of struggle onto God. It doesn't have to be that way, but it seems like that does occur a great deal. And especially if you've had that type of struggle in your life, these are the kind of scriptures that you need to focus on and remember and memorize and inculcate into your heart. This emphasizes that our salvation is completely of God's mercy. The idea of an effectual call means that it is God's doing that we're in Christ. It is by God's doing that we're kept, and the Holy Spirit is continually at work in our lives. And it also gives us an assurance that God's love toward us is forever. In the first epistle that John wrote, 1 John 4:10, John says it this way: "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That God the Son, in one of His works on the cross, took the wrath of God against us, completely drank the cup of the wrath of God, and fulfilled the promise that you will call His name Jesus, for it is He who will save His people from their sins. When you consider this passage in Romans, I particularly think of that quote of John Owen, of being caught up in an amazement at the love of God and the mercy we've received in Christ. Robert Murray McShane was much used of God in a Scottish awakening. Died at age 29 from lung disease, probably tuberculosis, but wrote a hymn which captures this idea very well. Wrote this, he said, "When this passing world is done, when is sunk the yon glaring sun, waking o'er life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I hear the wicked call on the rocks and hills to fall, when I see them start and shrink on the fiery deluge brink, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see Thee as Thou art, love Thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When the praise of the heaven I hear, loud as thunders to the ear, loud as many waters' noise, sweet as harp's melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe." Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have called us out of darkness, that we who were once alienated, children of wrath, dead in sin, hostile to You, unable to obey Your commands, unable to please You, unrighteous, sinners who had fallen short of the glory of God, have been shown incomprehensible mercy in Christ, that Jesus bore the wrath which would justly fall upon us on the cross, that He reconciled us to God, that He was our sacrifice, that He redeemed us in the power and slavery of sin, that we belong to You, and the Holy Spirit has opened our hearts, granted us faith and repentance, called us out of darkness. Father, help us to see more fully the extent of the grace we've been given, of the love that's been extended to us by You, to never take it lightly, to be motivated to live for your glory, for comprehension of that grace in the gospel in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are all by nature helplessly dead in our trespasses and sins, hopelessly unable to save ourselves. But through the power of the gospel message, the Lord miraculously and effectually calls us from spiritual death unto newness of life. Now for an audio copy of today's broadcast, ask for the message entitled, God's Effectual Call. Our mailing address, God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303, or call 636-447-5691. Again, that's 636-447-5691. God's Amazing Grace is a radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles. Dr. Van Lees is our pastor teacher. The church is located at 1111 Moogie Road. You're invited to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 11. Sunday school for adults and children begins at 10 with a Sunday evening Bible study at 6:30. Home Bible study groups, as well as men's and women's Bible studies, meet once a month and are excellent opportunities to build friendship and receive Christian support. At various times during the year, the church also offers theological seminars on such topics as God's sovereignty and salvation, heaven and hell, and the Trinity. The goal of Covenant of Grace Church is to glorify God in making disciples by teaching and equipping the saints and being salt and light in our community and our world. To learn more about Covenant of Grace Church and the ministry opportunities available, call the church office at 636-447-5691 or visit us online at covenantofgracechurch.org. And once again, for a copy of today's broadcast, request a message entitled God's Effectual Call. Our address again, God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303, or call 636-447-5691. You can also hear today's message over the internet anytime. Just log on to our Real Audio website at accradio.com. Well, thank you for being with us today, and we invite you back next time when we'll once again declare the glory of God's amazing grace.